We often have different perspectives on things, don't we? Picture yourself going for a nice family ride this afternoon. Beautiful spring day. And you hear from the back seat, "Are we there yet?" Or maybe you're watching a tractor pull. And you hear, "Are we having fun yet?" Maybe you're attending a Shakespeare play. "Is it almost over?" Or attending an exotic dinner. "Do I have to eat this?" We have different perspectives, don't we? And those perspectives make a big difference on how we perceive things. Pastor Tyler read from John 19. As Mary and John were at the foot of the cross, and Jesus, it says, when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing there, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her to his house. At the cross, Mary, Jesus' mother, was there. We can't imagine the grief she faced. No, she's not the first mother to lose a child. We can imagine the grief Eve must have faced when she stood at the grave of her son Abel, humanity's first death. Or Jacob, mourning as he is holding the blood-stained coat of his son Joseph. But this is different. Mary was there witnessing this painful and humiliating execution. But there is more. This was more than Mary's firstborn son. This was the hope of Israel. It was the angel who said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." No one was more sure of this miraculous conception than Mary. There were no doubts in her mind as to who this was. And as Mary watched in her sickening grief, Jesus ministered to her. "Dear woman, here is your son," referring to John. Jesus was making provision for her, for his mother, for her material and her emotional needs, even as he hung on the cross. Then Jesus' attention turned to John, known as the disciple whom he loved. He is identified in this fashion at least five times in Scripture. And he said to him, here is your mother. And John took responsibility for her from this point on. There was no question, there was no complaint. Why? Why did Jesus do this when Mary had other sons and daughters? I don't know. Unless Jesus felt his mother would need the comfort of one who truly believed that her son was the Messiah. Jesus' brothers and sister had trouble with that. And I would expect that Mary would have needed that unusual comfort that John could bring. It is amazing that Jesus was able to show such care and concern for others while he was going through the horrendous experience of dying on the cross. But I would suggest to you that this speaks more than just Jesus' love, care, and concern for his mother. If we have accepted Christ as our Savior, each of us have had to come to the cross. It is there that we recognize that our sin had been paid for. He died for us. He died for our sin. So we come. And it is there at that horrible place, like Mary, we find provision. It is there that we find salvation. It is through Christ's death that we are offered eternal life. But also, like John, at the foot of the cross, we find responsibility. As we come to him, experiencing his provision, his pardon, his salvation, we receive that as well as we are entrusted with the job. We are given responsibility. And what was John's job? To look after Mary. As the firstborn, it was Jesus' job to provide for his widowed mother. As we come to the cross, as we find that wonderful provision that God has offered to us, we also find responsibility. John 20, verse 21 says, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." John 17, verse 4, in Jesus' prayer, he says, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son might glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world began." Jesus was entrusted with a responsibility. He completed that. He was glorified in obeying his Father. We too have been given responsibility. John 10:10 says, "I have come that they might have life and that they may have it to the full." I believe what we celebrate this weekend is the most important event on the Christian calendar. Here we see his love, his obedience, his sacrifice, God's provision. But are we willing to respond to his love and provision by accepting the responsibility that he has given us? Jesus left us with a job. Behold, your mother, your brother, your sister, your neighbor. But I don't like my neighbor. That has nothing to do with it. In Matthew 5, Jesus said, "You have heard that it has been said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He caused the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." What is our view of the cross? There are some that had gathered at the cross, cheering, mocking. It was their entertainment. While there were others who were there in great grief, in sorrow. And later, they would come to realize that his death was for them, for their sin. And as they would realize that, they would be humbly thankful. What is our view? I would expect we are here because our perspective is of the second group. But if that is our perspective, what is our response? Jesus died for the sin of the world. That is huge. Those who have accepted this amazing gift have been charged with a task. How will they hear without someone taking that message to them? That's what Romans 10 tells us. People need to hear the gospel, the good news. How will they hear unless someone share that with them? Here we are in church at this solemn remembrance of Jesus' death. Many people would wonder, this is a holiday, and it is a beautiful day. Why would you want to spend it in church? Driving here this morning, we saw a lot of people out walking, just enjoying the morning. And no doubt, they would wonder, why would anybody want to use a holiday to come to a solemn remembrance service as this? Yet those of us who understand today, those of us who understand what Good Friday is all about, is there any other place that we should be? There is so much for us to learn. There is so much for us to be thankful for as we come to the cross. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is for us to assemble together and to spend but a portion of this day here to set the tone for the day, remembering what an amazing gift you have given to us. Thank you. And as we enjoy such a wonderful gift, of salvation. May we be reminded of the responsibility that we have been entrusted with as your witnesses, as your ambassadors, carrying the good news to our world. Lord, thank you for the privilege that is ours to know you personally, to know you intimately, to have fellowship with you, and in so doing, be able to have fellowship with your people. Praise you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.